Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 428 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever. Coming up on the show this week, we've got two of the cast of The Addams Family. We'll be hearing from Oliver Ormsson and also Valda Avix, taking two of the principal roles in the shape of Lucas Benecki and Grandma. That's moments away. Also, we've got the Quarry Bank Musical Theatre Youth Society with us. They're very loud and they will be singing very soon. They are doing Les Miserables at Stourbridge Town Hall from the 20th through 23rd of September. That is on the way. Also, we'll be finding out about Alopecia Awareness Month and have music from Amit Dattini. He's along performing too. But first of all, it is the first of our Addams Family interviews. When the Addams Family is at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from Tuesday the 17th through to Saturday the 21st of October, we meet the whole family, from Uncle Fester, the kids, of course, Morticia and Gomez. But the most important part of the family is the senior member. That's the grandma. And one glamorous granny that's down there is played by Valda Avix, who joins me on the line now. Hello.
Yeah, it's me.
That's the way.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, darling.
Now, when your agent rings up and says we want you to play a grandma, you must be thinking, well, hang on, how have I ended up in that category? Because I'm clearly nowhere near old enough. I've seen the headshots.
It lies.
But with a bit of makeup.
More than a bit of makeup. It takes a lot of makeup to look 102.
Exactly.
I am not exactly 30, but I'm not 102. I'm more like 98.
But a fantastic look in the show with all the makeup. How long does it take to do all of that?
Well, I sort of made that makeup up because most of the venues that we play are quite large, and so it needs to be quite a bit of makeup. So we were given colors and things to use, but I sort of knew that I didn't want to look like one of the ancestors who are dead, but the Addams Family is sort of different. We're sort of pale and interesting. It takes me about half an hour, and I also have quite an amazing wig that looks like it wants to take off by itself, and a succession of hats, including various bits of dead fauna and some mushrooms and a skull. And I mean, it's not the glamour role that I had anticipated, may I put it that way. But Grandma is, as Gomez says, the beating heart of the family.
Exactly. Without Grandma, where would the family be? I mean, okay, you've got Lurch looking after things, and he's heavily made up, as you are. And
yeah.
You've got Uncle Fester in the shape of Les Dennis, who's also wearing quite a bit of makeup.
But goodness.
Between the three of you, you must have to cake it on. But being Grandma, though, obviously looking at the whole family, keeping an eye on things and helping them through the story in what can be quite difficult times for any family, particularly the Addams Family, with the way the plot works out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the funny thing about Grandma is, of course, that no one's quite sure who she is. Whose mother is she? She came and she stayed, and she sort of fulfills the job that a lot of grandmothers do, which is to keep the young ones in check and to find magic mushrooms for them and make sure they're eating their freshly killed supper, things like that, you know.
But I'm sure the advice that you had from your grandma wasn't quite as extreme as you're going to get from the Addams Family grandma.
Do you know what? I never knew my grandmother.
Aww.
Well, my father's mother, I didn't know because she was in Latvia after the war, and my parents didn't actually find their families till quite late when the war had been over for some years.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother's mother lived in Canada, and I did meet her, but she spoke only Latvian, and I spoke very little Latvian, so she wasn't ever able to give me any advice, really. Though I did learn from her how to eat boiled potatoes with only one tooth in your head.
See, again, that is very Addams Family, so that kind of works.
It does kind of work.
You've been living towards this role for some time.
Well, it seems to be the only kind of role I get these days. So I think my age is finally catching up with what the casting people see me as doing.
But you have been in a lot of different roles on stage.
I have.
It must be great touring with theatre.
It is. It's much fun. The thing is, as one gets older and starts doing more and more character parts, I find myself doing musicals in which I don't sing much, you know. So I this is about the third one in a row. I did Into the Woods, where I played Grandma and didn't have any songs. I did Sweeney Todd, in which I was in the ensemble and had one line. Funny Girl, in which I didn't have anything to sing. And now this one. But I talk a lot in this one. As you can see, I'm very good at talking.
I noticed. But I mean, there is a lot of music in this show.
So you.
In an affectionate way. But there's a lot of music in this show. And do you find yourself singing along from the side when there is a big
Oh, I know everybody's songs. If they'd ask me, I could jump right in and do everybody's. Of course, I sing with the ensemble. And I have a couple of lines that I sing. What do I sing? Just pour a potion. That's my line. And there are group numbers, the whole Addams Family number and the finale. So it's not that I don't sing at all. I mean, solo singing, darling. I don't have any great numbers like Pulled that Wednesday sings, or Guess It's Just Around the Corner, like Natisha sings, or every other song that Gomez sings, you know.
Well, yeah, they're all fantastic pieces of work. And
yeah,
it's a massively funny show, and it must be great being part of that sort of comedy.
It's really, I feel very blessed because our company is a family in reality. We love each other. Everybody works very hard. The ensemble that plays all the ancestors, they're also the understudy, so they know everybody's part. And they cover for us if any of the principals are ill. And we've had such good social times together, and we love being on stage together. It's just a hoot. And the piece, Addams Family has such a good heart. It's about love, basically. And though there are weird things in it and odd things, ultimately it's about families and the problems we have with each other and how we resolve them, which makes it sound very worthy, but because it's not worthy, it's funny. Bring your family, you'll laugh.
You'll laugh, you'll enjoy the music, you'll see fantastic sets with brilliant acting, great singing, wonderful dancing. There's so much, isn't there? It is all packed into one show. You must enjoy doing this, though, alongside the fact you've done loads of TV stuff, too. I mean, whether it be something like Helga in Doctor Who, or...
Oh, I did... they call me Helga, but when I did it, I was only... the script I got called me the German Woman. And that one I did some years ago. I'm constantly trying to look people up and say, I'm willing to do some more Doctor Who, but they don't ask me, why do you think? But that was absolutely amazing. I'd love to do more telly, and this seems like a really good place. I'm hoping that some of the people from Media City have come to see the show, and not that I'm auditioning or anything, but I'm working extra special hard. So I don't know how Grandma would look on Coronation Street or anything like that.
I think she's feeling really well. I think there's a few...
You think?
Definitely. That would be good.
Okay, well, put in a good word for me, would you?
We'll see what we can do. We never know. Maybe we get a new Midlands-based show centred around Grandma for when you're in Wolverhampton.
I think that's the best idea I've heard. And I also wanted to say that I'm really looking forward to Wolverhampton, partly because I'm going to celebrate my birthday in Wolverhampton.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to it. I won't say how old I'm going to be, because that wouldn't be right.
You're not as old as your character, that's what counts.
Not 102, no.
And do you think, what about an Addams Family birthday cake, though? What do you think that would contain? That could be quite scary in itself.
An Addams Family birthday cake?
Mm.
Well, it would be black. It would probably be devil's food. it would probably have lots of strawberry sauce on it, so it looks like blood, have arrows sticking out of it. Oh, I could make a wonderful birthday cake.
I think we're going to be inviting me round, hopefully, for a slice of cake in the dressing room on that night of the show. But we're very much looking forward to see you and the rest of the family at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, Tuesday the 17th through Saturday the 21st of October, 01902 429212, the box office number, grandtheatre.co.uk, to get your tickets online. And you can see the wonderful Grandma, played by Valda Avix, in
Yay!
The Addams Family, the musical comedy. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
In a moment's time, we'll be hearing from our pet musician of the week, Amit Dattini, joining us in the studio. But we're going to have a tune from the guys from the Quarry Bank Musical Theatre Youth Society. Did I get that right, Molly?
Yeah, of course you did. It's
just about. I was reading it as well, which is the scary part. But you're going to sing a song for us. What we're going to hear?
Do you hear the people sing?
Do you hear the people sing? Singing the song of angry men. It is the music of the people who will not be slaves again.
when the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums. There is a life about to start when tomorrow comes. Will you join in our crusade? You will be strong and stand with me. Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see? Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free. Do you hear the people sing? Singing the song of angry men. It is the music of the people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to stop and tomorrow comes.
Amit Dattani has just finished work on his debut solo album down at Magic Garden in Wolverhampton. He joins me now not only to tell me about his work, but also there's a guitar lurking over there, which I'm hoping he's going to put to good use very soon. So, Amit, tell us a bit about you and your music.
My name's Amit. I play kind of fingerstyle, I kind of call it country blues roots. So it's kind of influenced by traditional, mostly American kind of acoustic music. I've been playing music for about 10 to 15 years. More so as part of a band called Mellow Peaches. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Black Country originally, and I now live in Birmingham. So I've been playing as part of a band for a while, and I've got a collection of songs that I wanted to release as just me. So this is my first stab at releasing something as Amit, as opposed to as Mellow Peaches. So it's a bit scary, but exciting at the same time.
But you've been out there and done that sort of stuff anyway, and you're used to standing in front of an audience, so that bit's okay. Yeah. But when you get to have complete say on the music, that must be interesting then, because you're also probably going to be working with producers, sound engineers and whatever else, and it's getting that point across on how it should sound.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mix, really. It's quite nice to have, on the one hand, it's quite nice to have someone on stage with you and you can kind of vibe off each other. But at the same time, what I'm quite liking about playing on my own is I can kind of go off on one a bit more in terms of the song, and I can change it up while I'm playing it and not have to worry about other people kind of knowing what I'm doing or whatnot. So it's kind of interesting. There's pluses and minuses to it. I'm quite enjoying it at the moment.
So if a middle 8 suddenly becomes a middle 16, it's your problem and your problem alone.
Absolutely. And if I suddenly make a massive mistake, I can get myself out of it eventually.
Yeah, no one's going to know that wasn't supposed to be that chord
there. It's all intentional.
It's just part of the musicality that you possess.
Yeah.
So what's the album sort of sound, as it were, then? Is it full studio, or are we talking a bit of acoustic, and how far away from actual release?
So the album itself is quite basic sounding. I wanted something. I've always wanted an album that was really stripped back. So it's essentially just me. My kind of singing and my guitar is quite interlinked, and so I don't record with overdubs. I like to kind of record as they did back in the 30s. So just all together in one go.
So it's available on Cylinder as well.
On Cylinder and crackled vinyl and all sorts. And it'll be released in March 2018.
So a bit of a wait.
Does
this mean you're going to be honing some bits on the mix? Or is there much to mix as it's just
done.
You?
Good question. Yeah, it's all done. It's all been mixed.
You're just teasing people now.
Just waiting. I mean, I think it's... I still need to work on the artwork and kind of some of the promotion side of it and figure out how best to launch it. So I'm booking in a tour at the moment, and you often have to book venues very far in advance. So it kind of makes sense to release it when I'll have a bunch of gigs next spring.
So for Christmas, you're asking for a colouring in book, and then you can produce the artwork that goes along with the album.
And some crayons
for
New Year's Day.
That would be great, and it gives you something to do.
On New Year's Day after a while, after the hangover goes away, a bit of colouring in.
And before you know it, you've got an album release.
I think
everybody should try that. That would work.
Yeah.
Okay, so how many songs and how many more have you got hiding in the back catalogue? Because I'm going to guess that you've quite enjoyed writing over the years.
Yeah, I mean, I've got... I kind of have an on and off relationship with... songs, and actually the title track from the album is called Santiago, and it's actually about writer's block, which is always great fun, as you can imagine. But I've got about nine to ten songs on the album. I think a couple of those are traditional songs, so old songs from the 20s or 30s or even older, and the rest are mine, including a couple of instrumentals. So a bit of a mix, and then I've got a bunch of tunes that I've played in the past with the different bands that I've played with.
So where did this interest in 80s and 90s year old music come from then? Who were you dating? What was the name?
So I was listening to a lot of... Well, I started out kind of as a lot of kids my age did, getting into Oasis and that sort of thing. And my brother, he plays... I think he's been here before. He plays in Soli Morning. Mm-hmm. He plays bass with them. And he got me into playing guitar, bought me a guitar. And he bought me a Jimi Hendrix CD and just left me to it. And I really enjoyed that. But I was interested in what Jimi Hendrix was influenced by. and listening to those players and then listening to those players, and ended up going back and hearing people like Mississippi John Hurt, who's a great fingerstyle player who kind of made his guitar sound like a piano.
Mm-hmm.
People like Blind Blake, Big Bill Brunsey, these performers you could just sit on their own and play and do interesting things.
And not necessarily available on iTunes, so where did you find all this stuff?
Oh, God, the library. The library was amazing. The library in... the library in Stourbridge, the one in Birmingham, you just get CDs out and listen to them.
You've toured for some interesting stuff.
Yeah, and the chap who I played with, the Mellow Peaches, he seemed to be getting into the same sort of music at the same time as me, so we'd have our little geekotes and get these CDs and get together and listen to things and try and learn things, all by ear, because it was obviously before tablature and things were as freely available on the internet as they are, which makes me feel a bit old saying that, but there we go. So it was all like painstakingly listening. So I can't read music, so it was just listening, learning, listening, learning.
But then that does mean it is much more about making a good noise than it is about trying to get something that looks pretty on paper.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it means it's about getting the nuances and the feeling into the music that you hear, as opposed to trying to get it exactly right.
And have you been tempted to get it transcribed at any point?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to learn how to read music one day. My wife's a music teacher, so... I probably should ask her at some point.
If anyone can teach you, it's the other half. That's good. What happens next then? The album comes out, but more recording on the way, and you've maybe fancy doing something with a bigger band sound, or you're happy keeping it stripped back?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so album, a tour, work up some new material, probably revisit things with Mellow Peaches. I also play in a bluegrass band as well, so we'll probably be releasing an album at some stage.
If you have time to do anything else. Time. Yeah.
And then eventually, it'd be nice to do another record where I've got kind of drums and bass and kind of more of a electrified country bluesy type of sound, quite raw, and yeah, I'd quite like that one day.
Okay, we'll see what happens next. So is all of this sort of gelling together online anywhere?
Yeah, so the website is amitdatanimusic.com. Mm-hmm. If you Google Amit Datani, I'm often not the first, because there's another Amit Datani who's a faith healer, and he has about...
Now, if you can combine that with the music, that would be a good trick.
He has about 300,000 followers on Instagram, so I've got a bit of a way to go to get above him. But so I'm probably about third or fourth down, but if you type Amit Datani... There's a website there, and it has kind of gig dates and news and all that kind of stuff.
And whatever else happens to be happening in your world.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to hear you play guitar in a moment or two's time. What are we going to hear? And tell us a bit of the story of the song.
Well, I'll probably start with the title track from the album that I'm releasing. It's called Santiago. It's about writer's block, and it's kind of about how... it's actually named after the character from The Old Man and the Sea, the Ernest Hemingway book. And so the title character, Santiago, is a fisherman. And he's not a very successful fisherman. And one day he goes out and catches a massive swordfish after a huge battle, almost to the death. And it's a beautiful gleaming swordfish, and he ties it to the side of his boat. And on his way back home, it gets attacked by sharks. And it kind of ends up all skeletal and kind of completely ripped apart. And it starts off beautiful and ends up a bit ugly. And I think at the time it was almost sometimes how I would... kind of see some of my songs. I'd kind of write a song and think, oh, that sounds all right, and come back to it, and you're always your worst self-critic, and you kind of go, oh, that's a bit rubbish now. So it's sort of that kind of yin and yang of trying to be better, but also not also trying to be a bit kind to yourself as well.
Well, swordfish in hand, that doesn't get used in playing the guitar in any way at all, but let's take a listen to something from Amit Datani.
2, 3, 4 I burned out a cigarette, stumbling home drunk with a hole in my side. If I can't blink on it like good old Louis Armstrong, keep that repetition blowing, cause the words I cannot find. Sometimes they curl up, land on the paper. Most time they shrivel up and die. I keep my sorrow like a brook with no meander. Keep that beauty ever flowing, cause the words I cannot find. Oh, Santiago, see that cherry fading, stones are all you find.
cast the net down, dig deep within and hook another line. Down a flagpole for the art of this creation. The process of creating has left me running cold now. I'll spin a 45 and listen for an answer. From my mattress I can fall out, cause the words I cannot find. Ooh, Santiago, see that cherry fading stones are all you find. Casting that down, dig deep within and hook another line. Ooh, Santiago, see that cherry fading stones are all you find. Oh, casting that down, dig deep within and hook another.
Tuesday the 17th through Saturday the 21st of October, there's going to be some creepy and kooky goings on at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. That's because the Adams family will be in residence. To tell us more, someone who's kind of about to marry into the Adams family in the shape of Luke Spinecki, Oliver Ormson, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Excellent, yes, good. Just finished the show in Manchester, so yeah, got a bit of a buzz, but yeah, no good.
Well, it's good. Thank you for talking to us on your time off, because I know it gets a bit manic between shows when you've got a matinee
it
day.
It does.
It's a really fun show there, but so much hard work. I don't think anybody ever stops moving, do they?
Oh my God, yes, yes. Like, especially the ensemble characters, they do not stop moving, because they play the ancestors, so they're effectively ghosts. And they're doing a lot of moving off set and playing with the living. So yeah, they're non-stop, but yeah, it's fun to do.
And Lucas has an interesting role in the show, and I don't really think he knows quite what he's letting himself in for at the start of Act One, does he?
No. The thing is, Lucas, he loves the darkness. He's attracted by the darkness. He loves that side of the Adams, you know. But yeah, it all gets a bit crazy when they enter that mansion. And yeah, he definitely is in for a couple of surprises, as is the audience.
Absolutely. With the Lucas's family getting involved as well, a case of both Wednesday and Lucas meeting the potential in-laws. And
yes.
Is this as scary as probably the first time you went round to one of your partner's houses to meet
yeah.
the family?
It was funny because when we were talking about the characters and talking about, like, coming around, you know, Matthew White is the director. He was telling us about, like, can you recall from any of the times I've gone around to my, you know, ex-girlfriend's houses? And I was like, yes, I can, and I know how scary it is, you know, to meet the father and meet the mother, you know, of your partner. So it's really scary. So I did draw some of those things. You might find myself, you know, when you're watching, be a bit nervous, a bit twitchy, because I don't want to step forward in the wrong direction or anything. So that's definitely something I've recalled from being a scared teenager, let's just say that much.
Obviously, with the fantastic Carrie Hope Fletcher in the role of Wednesday, who could help but fall in love with her?
I know, and she's absolutely amazing, and her voice is, like, to die for. Like, she's insane, she's such a great talent. And she's only 24, and she's done all these leads in the West End and on tour, and she does an absolute fantastic job as Wednesday Adams. It's hard not to fall in love with her, yeah, definitely.
I'm sure she feels the same way. You have been Prince Charming on stage, so, you know.
I have done the Prince Charming, yes, I've done that. He's very different to Lucas Beinecke. Well, actually, there are similarities, but, I mean, I'm definitely American in this, and Prince Charming was very much proper and royal, so it's a bit different.
When you're preparing for a role like this in such a fun show, it's a bit of a journey, isn't it? Because when we were chatting with Les Dennis and some of the other cast when I saw it earlier on this year, it's very much a show that you've been able to make your own, because this is the first British production.
Yes. Yes, and that was one of the biggest pulls for me when I got the audition, and I was like, they're like, it's never been done before in like professional capacity in the UK. I think there's been some amateur productions, but this is like the first cast. So you would be creating Lukas Beinecke. So that was such an amazing thing to do. You know, as actors, all you really want to do is create and have the chance to create stuff. And basically, we're just kids, and the rehearsal room is our playground. And it's so cool, because in modern day musical theatre, when you're in a long-running show, like a successful show, like my last show, Book of Mormon, in the West End, it's a well-oiled machine. And you're just a cog that fits in, and there's not much room for change, or because they want the show to remain what it was originally. So to do this and come into a show like this, which is like, they were like, go play and make and create, and to see if what you come up with works, and hopefully I think we've got a good recipe and for a good show. So yeah,
but it is amazingly funny, but it does have that musical element as well. Obviously you're used to your singing, as I say, you've got the Book of Mormon. I'm not sure whether we can draw too many similarities between that and the Addams Family, or maybe we can, but but I mean, the singing in this really is quite full on.
Yeah, it is. Some of the songs that we've got to sing, and it's so wordy, and it's so, you know, there's a lot of, you've got to get your mouth around those words, and because the lyrics are beautiful, and the music by Andrew Lipper, but it is a hard task, and especially the ensemble singers, they have some really top harmonies, but then also we have this amazing choreography by Alistair David, which is busy, but like, effective, and so then these ancestors are dancing about in these like lavish costumes, but also hitting these amazing notes which Andrew Lipper's written. So it's a really cool recipe, and I think we've got such a talented cast. We've really we've hit the nail on the head with it, and we're so lucky.
And do you think in real life you would want to join the Addams Family?
I honestly think they'd scare me. I'd love to be that rebellious and be like, yes, I'd love to do that. You know, wielding weapons and crossbows, I think, around the dinner table would probably just be a step too much for me. I think I'd like to have them as my friends, just in case I got into trouble anytime soon. But to live there, I think I'd be a bit scared.
And is there somebody on the tour who probably is a bit of a prankster and plays jokes on you whilst you're part of this cast? Because there must be so many opportunities for teasing.
Yeah. I think the biggest prankster, and I think prankster is what he does, but you wouldn't want to go by that name, because he is so, like, he is a professional actor, obviously, but I mean, because I'm saying this because he does it on stage, and this is Mr. Cameron Blakely, who plays Gomez. He's so wonderful at, like, changing lines and changing the way he does it, but all fitting in the Addams Family theme, but it'll just catch you off guard. It'll just do a funny voice one day, or it'll do a funny face, and he's the one. He's like the cast kryptonite. When it comes to laughter, he can get anyone, and he's very naughty, but he's so wonderful at his job. Yeah, Cameron plays Gomez.
When we had a chat with him after the show, he's such good fun as well. And my word, he gets a few good dance moves. And as you said, the choreography in there is amazing. Is that something that you were ready for, or did you have to do a bit of extra training to get into shape for that one?
It was actually opposite way around, really, for me, because my previous job, Book of Mormon, there was a lot of dancing in it. There was a lot of dancing, and the parts I played were quite high roles in singing, like the notes I'd sing. But so Addams Family, when I came and did it, I was like, yeah, I'm ready to dance. But unfortunately, Lukas doesn't do any dancing, and it doesn't have to, really. It doesn't need him to dance. And also, the singing's a bit lower than I'm used to, so it's actually become quite a nice, really, a really nice gig for me. Like, it's not too stressful on my voice and my body, but it's what was amazing and what drew me in was that creating Lukas Beinecke and having a bit of Oliver Rawlinson in Lukas Beinecke.
Well, a fantastic musical comedy, really brilliant show. So looking forward to seeing it at the Grand Theatre from the Tuesday the 17th through to Saturday the 21st of October. Get yourself down there at 01902 429212 is the box office number. Grandtheatre.co.uk to book your tickets online and see The Addams Family, starring a fantastic cast which includes Oliver Ormson as Lukas Beinecke. Great to talk to you, and I'll let you back to your next show later on today.
Yes. I'm ready for it. See you in Wolverhampton.
See you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
So this is called Raise the Dead. Be tired, my hands feel like wires that keep running out of juice from time to time. You might be certain that your throat is awful hurting from all the singing you do 9 to 5. Let's grab us down a bottle, take it down full throttle, and sing till we lie it in the head. Our minds have been churning and our hearts are heavy yearning to run around and raise the dead. Stricken shoulder has had the heaviest of boulders drop upon it with the force of a gun. And your rust-laden bike has been stolen in the night and left you running in the rain with one shoe on. I'll grab us down a blanket, cook us up a banquet, we'll talk till we're light in the head. Our minds have been churning and our hearts are really yearning to run around and rave. Things that might not become things, but they could still be things, so we should worry. We can't worry about the things that might not become things, but they could still be things, so we should worry. I'm out of pocket. My left ear inside a sharp that keeps telling me I left the cooker on. You might have found as the years they come around, we ain't that different, but we'll change under the sun. Let's run back to our fortress, make it our own fortress, paint it white, leave the shadows on the floor. Our minds have been churning and our hearts are ever yearning to dance around and raise the dead.
Bank Musical Theatre Youth Society present Les Miserables at the Stourbridge Town Hall from the 20th to the 23rd of September, and they are here with me now. Hello.
Hi.
Now, there's more of you than this, isn't there?
Yes.
But we're going to have a little chat with them and find out about some of the characters. We've got lots of the principals. You'll be singing more very soon, and you do all have fine voices. I hate you all. So, first of all, who do we have? Okay, so you forgot your name. However, who are you in real life, and who are you in the show?
I'm Fran Morrell. I'm Cassette in the show.
Okay, and Alex?
I'm Alex Cook.
So I gave you a clue there, because I the last one. You have to try, don't you? So.
Yeah, I'm Alex Cook, and I'm playing Marius.
Okay, so tell us a bit about your characters to begin with.
Well, she, like, her love interest is obviously Marius, and she's just kind of frustrated because Jean Valjean, like, her mother's died, and Jean Valjean kind of takes care of her, and, like, he doesn't really let her have any freedom. So when she finds Marius, she sort of kind of discovers freedom and she wants it.
And in your role as Marius, it's nice to be offering that freedom?
Yeah, it's like, it's really weird as well, because you think it's like he's like a really like wet part, because he's just falling in love with everyone, but he's not, because he's like, he wants to fight in the barricade along with his brothers and everything, but he's like torn between it. Yeah.
And it is a big story, and many people have seen this on stage in the West End, but the challenge you're bringing this to the stage for you guys is great, but it's really good workout for you all, and as you're learning your trade, in effect.
Yeah, and I also learned how to like how what it looks like to load a really old gun as well. So
it all works well. Okay, yeah. Right, we'll all shuffle along so we can all have a chat. You move that way, I'll move in here because troublemaker in the middle. Tell us your name.
Hi, I'm Ollie Hart Bradford, and I'm playing Jean Valjean.
So you got a lead role in this.
Yeah.
Are you not going to smirk all the way through that as well, are you?
No. Because
this one, I think, is trouble. How on earth did you manage to get the lead role? Was it bribery and corruption, or have you just got a good voice?
Well, it's not all about the voice for Jean Valjean, because there's a lot of deep and dark side to him and where he's come from in his life, and it's portraying that to the audience as well as the voice. So,
are you up to this?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I would not expect anything else, but it's a challenge. I mean, how old are you now?
16.
And you've got to cope with performing a really big part on stage in front of loads of people, not trying to make you nervous, but are you nervous?
Not at the moment, but I will be.
Yeah. And have you done much of this as you've gone through your time with Quarry Bank Musical Theatre?
I've only done one of the show with Quarry Bank. Well, this is the first youth society one with Quarry Bank, mm-hmm. but I have done one of the show with Quarry Bank, but yeah, it's a good society.
So it's working well for you.
Yeah.
Okay, who are we talking to next?
Oh, hi.
That's Molly again. Hello.
Hello.
You've got a bit of... These are notes, are they? Oh, no, you've
just got, if you want to know the plot.
You've got some plot. We have plot. Okay, tell us a bit of the plot then.
Oh, God. basically, it follows the story of Jean Valjean all through his life. It's a very time-scaping play. We go through about 30 years. Yeah.
We haven't got to age you during this, have we? You're going to get makeup and everything.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a nightmare in backstage. We do have a very good... It's fine.
Just put a bag on his head.
Yeah. So he gets imprisoned for stealing a loaf of bread, and it all goes downhill from there, basically. He gets his free ticket out, and then basically he finds... And then he wants to change his life, so he finds God, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then he... So then we do have a massive time gap, and then he's mayor of a town. So everything's going good until Javert, who's also one of the lead characters, he's literally chasing him because he broke his parole. So, and then all the other different characters are introduced, like the Madame Thénardier and Monsieur Thénardier. They're the family that Jean Valjean takes, Fantine's. It's all very confusing. All these characters aren't here, but it makes sense on stage.
It will do, and it will be great to see on the night. And so we have Ensemble back here, do
yeah,
we?
Yeah, these are
okay.
The students.
Hello, Ensemble. Tell us who you are.
I'm Dan Caldry. Yeah.
Who are you playing?
Oh, I'm playing Dante.
You can do that as well.
Yeah,
And?
Hi, I'm James Luckins. I'm playing Jolie, one of the students.
So, it didn't quite get a lead role. Is this because you're too tall? You'd have dwarfed absolutely everybody else. I mean, no, wouldn't have worked, would it?
Yeah, probably.
And again, being a part of the ensemble, just as important as anybody else, there's quite a lot of singing. You've got to make a lot of noise.
Yeah, we do. There's quite a lot of building the ensemble because they make most of the show as well as the principals. They like back them up as the principals.
Well, something like the film, huge numbers of extras in that, and that's basically you guys, and you can be five people, can't you?
Yeah. I'm about five people.
Yeah, so that just about works. Okay, so let's move on to the comedy corner over here. I've already been warned. At least not as bad as Oliver. But,
no, I think we're worse.
You're actually worse? Okay, so tell us who you are and what you do.
Owen Bradley, Monsieur Thénardier.
I'm Maddie Rock, and I'm playing Madame Thénardier.
And where does your two characters fit into the story,
so,
then?
So, because when Fantine has her child, her husband left her. Well, not her husband, her partner left her. So she sends this little girl to us, and we look after her until Jean Valjean comes and buys her off us. And we're very into... like stealing things and like
and selling people and all,
you know
that,
what I mean?
Sort of, yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
So slavery, robbery, you do
all that. there's quite a few scenes in the show where we are nicking people's stuff, but that's fun.
Okay, I'll check my wallet before games. I go then. Okay, we're not getting into character too much. And on the end, you're not just here to hold a poster, are you?
No, my name is Isabella Cook, and I'm also part of the ensemble.
And again, vitally important, what's your favourite bit of the show? Because you actually get to see some of it while singing as well.
I do like Do You Hear the People Sing?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's very powerful, and I just like it. It's like
Well, it is a big, passionate play. You guys are going to work really hard in it. If we can hold the poster up, for me. There we go. All of them. Les Miserables, it is the school edition. It is the 20th through the 23rd of September. If you want your tickets on that one, the box office is in 07704-938454. 07704-938454. And can we find you a lot on Facebook as well?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Do we know where you can be found on Facebook? What are we searching for?
Roaring Bank Musical Theatre Youth Society.
I'm glad you said that because I can't anymore. Thank you, guys. We're going to have another song, though, now. What are you going to sing for us?
In My Life.
Okay, yeah. Take it away. Quarry Bank Musical Theatre Youth Society.
So fast. What's the matter with you, Cassette? Have you been too much on your own? So many things unclear, so many things unknown. In my mind, there are so many questions and answers that somehow seem wrong. Sit in the silence, a sigh of a faraway song, and it sings of a world I long to see out of reach, just a whisper away, waiting for me. Does he know I'm alive? Do I know if he's real? Does he see what I see? Does he feel what I feel?
You're such a lonely child. How pensive, how sad you seem to me. Believe me, were it within my power, I'd feel each passing hour. How quiet it must be. I can see with only me for company.
So little I know that I'm longing to know of the child that I was in a long time ago. The life you have known, will keep to yourself, while we're always alone. So dark, and deep, secrets that you keep.
September is Alopecia Awareness Month. To tell us more, from Alopecia UK, Jen Chambers, UK Events and Support Manager, and Amy Johnson, Communications and Fundraising Manager. Hello to you both.
Hello.
First of all, there is a personal experience of alopecia in the group I'm talking to here. Jen, you actually lost your hair at the age of 11.
I did. I remember it well. It was a Saturday and I was playing with my hair as 11-year-olds do, and all of a sudden I just felt a smooth bit of skin, and then obviously started freaking out, and I was looking all over my head and I found two patches about the size of a 10-pence piece in my hair. So yes, that was when I was 11. Very traumatic day.
And your hair regrew at the age of 16, but then fell out again when you were 20. So if this is something which you seem disposition to, it can repeat through your lifetime.
I think, yeah, for a lot of people, when they kind of start with alopecia, it can often then be something that they kind of might experience on and off. So people with patches, often it might be that they have a few patches and then they might not have patches for a while, but then they might get a few patches again. For me personally, I started out with patches and then I lost all of it, and then I got all of it back, and then I lost all of it again a few years later. That's actually probably more uncommon, actually. When people lose all of it, quite often a lot of people won't get it back, but that's not always the case.
And Amy, again, a situation that arose for you when you were 24.
Yeah, so first couple of patches at that point, and then it was they grew back, as they often do. So for most people with alopecia areata, it can just be a case of a couple of patches and they will fill back in. But then again, unfortunately for myself, at the age of 27, 3 years later, I lost everything over a period of about 5 months. It was just like a gradual loss. And I first spotted that with, again, just hair coming out in clumps on my pillow on a morning and noticing more hair in the hairbrush and in the sink after having a bath, things like that.
So how many people in the UK actually suffer from alopecia?
It's a good question and not one we actually fully know the answer to. There's a couple of studies that have suggested that there's a 2% lifetime risk of alopecia areata, which would mean that in the UK alone, there'd be 1.3 million people who will have had or do have or will experience at some point in their lifetime alopecia areata. It's something that affects men, women and children at any age and from any background. It can strike at any time, really.
And the causes can be many and varied as well, can't they?
Yeah, so, well, the causes aren't necessarily known, but there's a lot of different triggers that are thought. So there's different things that are thought can trigger alopecia. So whether that be a psychological stress or a physical stress, you know, it could be that somebody has some sort of illness or vaccination or something along those lines, or a psychological stress, you know, there's a sudden bereavement or something that causes, obviously, a lot of stress for that person. So those are thought to be triggers for alopecia, but not necessarily the cause of it.
What sort of impact can it have on someone's lives?
I think the impact it can have can vary considerably from individual to individual. I think, as with anything in life, we deal with things differently, don't we? And I think alopecia is no different to that. But in terms of the impact it can have on some people, it can be vast. It can be a huge thing to come to terms with. It can really have a devastating impact on, you know, self-esteem, on confidence. We know that, you know, some young people with alopecia, you know, they don't want to go to school, for instance. I know that you know, that those with alopecia kind of later in life can struggle kind of like with, you know, relationships, whether it be existing ones or future ones, and, you know, going to work, all sorts of things. It's a really you know, big thing to come to terms with.
And particularly, it can vary by gender as well. A younger fella is going to suffer just as much as a younger female. But as you get older, men are kind of predisposition to think, hang on, I might be about to lose my hair. So again, it can vary the way in which they deal with it. But when it's something as sudden as alopecia, then it really can hit hard, can't it?
It really can, and I think you mentioning about sudden hair loss. I think, it does genuinely come down to kind of how we deal with things as an individual, but I think you've touched upon something that, again, can be quite unpredictable about alopecia in terms of how quickly the hair loss can occur. So, you know, we're in touch with people that do lose all their hair as suddenly as overnight and things like that. So it can be a really, you know, kind of difficult thing to come to terms with. But then similarly, myself, who, you know, had it kind of over a period of a few months, that was still a difficult thing to kind of adjust to. It's tricky.
And it stretches out the trauma of you, the fact you're seeing this is going. You know each day that you could be waking up to more of an issue, more likely than less of one.
Well, exactly, yeah. And this is it. And when people are starting with patches, one of the most difficult things with alopecia is just that unpredictableness. And there's no control over it. And that can sometimes be the most tricky period, can it, with the, yeah. Amy, with the patches. And people just don't know whether it's coming or going. And it's really stressful time.
I think one of the hardest things to come to terms with alopecia is so many of the unknowns. You know, we can't get the answers in terms of really knowing what it is that has caused it to happen, but then also it's knowing how far it's going to progress. You know, when we have those first couple of patches, we really do worry that it's going to progress to, you know, further baldness, but then from lots of people it actually doesn't. But it's that unpredictability and that not knowing how far your hair loss is going to progress that makes it a really difficult thing to have.
And what sort of advice and support is out there for those people who do discover they're suffering from this?
So Alopecia UK's got lots of information on its website. I would always recommend, if you're new to alopecia, or even if you've had it for a while but you've never kind of like linked in with others, do visit our website, which is alopecia.org.uk. On there, there's a huge amount of information, but there's also details of our 30 local support groups that we have nationwide, and that includes 6 groups for children. And we've also got details of how to get online support. So for those that maybe can't get along to a local group, we've got an online forum, but what's become most popular in the last couple of years has been our closed Facebook group, and we have a huge number of daily posts in that group which offer some really valuable peer support to those with alopecia.
So alopecia is spelled A-L-O-P-E-C-I-A, .org.uk on the end of that, where you can find out more. And this awareness month, it is about getting that message out there, because unfortunately, I'm sure you've been on the receiving end of this, but it can be something of a bit of a figure of fun to poke fun at someone for their hair being different and any changes. And that is true both in the adult world and in the world of kids. It is making sure there's awareness there that of what somebody is going through when this happens to them.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just ensuring that there's some sensitivity around the fact that there is a psychological impact to hair loss, and that it isn't just hair. For those that have experienced it, it's far more than that.
Well, thank you both for joining us. Jen Chambers, the UK Events and Support Manager, and Amy Johnson, Communications and Fundraising Manager for Alopecia UK. Well, hopefully we can get a great message out there during the month of September.
Thank you.
That's a lot for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Back with episode 429 next week. I'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.